Welcome to the Soul Summit Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Preedy. I'm here to help bridge the gap for women and families in the outdoors, build a community of adventure junkies, and roll out your weekly dose of positive vibes. With almost two decades in the health and fitness world and an untamable passion for hunting in the outdoors, my mission is to help you live your bucket list life and move boldly in the direction of your dreams. Meet us here weekly as I connect with like-minded outdoor men and women to discuss health and mindset, accountability, life and entrepreneurship, as well as all things hunting and epic untold stories. The Soul Summit Podcast is brought to you by Maven Optics, Baku E-Bikes, Hoyt Archery, Onyx Maps, and Sawyer Products. For more information on these companies or to access the Soul Summit Podcast discount codes, be sure to check out our show notes. I think that you're really going to enjoy today's episode. I'm sitting down to talk with Jerry Bulkin, and I just recently met him in Montana at Chanel Riley's Women's Wildlife Photography Tour. He came in on our Snow Coach Tour day to do a video. So he was kind of behind the scenes shooting some videos for Chanel. And I got just a preview of who he is. His mindset, his maturity, just the way he, you know, thinks about life and is working to really better himself. And Jerry's been on his own since he was a sophomore and has some really great mentors in his life, including his great grandparents. And we get to listen in to how he has really used some of those pillar moments and experience in his life, you know, those influences to really level up and to look at life through just a deeper lens. It's cool to hear his perspective. I think that this is a great episode for young men to listen to as well. He has some unique perspectives in here and cool to hear kind of a multi sides of the coin. We also hear about his personal growth and independence and talking about micro mentors. This is something that was really big for him, something that he talks about a lot and really engages and amplifies in his own life, and how his great grandparents really helped deepen his curiosity for not staying small, for really leveling up and digging deep. And Jerry shared with me just yesterday before editing this podcast that his beloved great grandmother had just passed away. And he thought it was really special that he was just able to talk about her in this episode. Jerry, I hope that we do them justice. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Jerry's also a personal trainer, and he talks about his diverse skill set, highlighting his passion both for physical fitness and creativity. He also discusses his media company, Terrain Tactics Media, and offers a little bit of advice on overcoming plateaus, connecting with others, and really building yourself. Without further ado, welcome to another episode of the podcast. Today, I am joined on the other line by Jerry Bulkin. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
Thanks for having me. What's popping?
Oh my gosh. The sun's kind of peeking out here a little bit, and it feels definitely like spring here in Western Oregon. Some sunshine, a little bit of rain, a little bit of sleet, back to sunshine. We'll take it. What's going on in your world, Jerry?
It's been the last few weeks have been hit or miss on the snow, and it's like deep snow with a heavy wind right before, but other than that, it's starting to look pretty nice out. They did say it was going to snow again, but I haven't seen it yet, so I'm just preparing.
I hope we're cruising into summer. I'm definitely ready for some, you know, warm sun rays, a little, you know, outside time. We were just joking. We came from the Central Oregon show this weekend, and it's so great when I, you know, get up on the other side of the mountain. The people are incredible. The weather is great. The sunshine. And we're all joking over there about how we're getting all moldy and mossy over here. My husband just had to wash his truck. He's like, there's moss growing all over my truck. I'm like, welcome to Western Oregon. This is what you get when you're here, you know? So, talk to us a little bit though about you, what's going on. Give us a little overview on who you are, Jerry.
Yeah. So I'm a personal trainer. I train specifically in outdoor fitness. So mostly in biometrics and, HIIT. I incorporate a lot of HIIT into my workouts just because it's just to be adaptable, or my slogan is prepare for adventure. And then I'm also a videographer, which I've been doing that for about 5 to 6 years now. Just picked up a camera one day, thought photography was pretty cool, but I've now transitioned into doing mostly videography and supporting local businesses, essentially, and their endeavors, primarily the companies that have effect into their community.
That's awesome. And so that actually is kind of how you and I got connected, was through your videography work. I just came from your area in Montana. I was seeing a friend, Chanel Riley, for her Wilderness Women's Wildlife Photography Retreat. And we had so much fun. And she surprised us on the day of the Snow Coach Tour by bringing you along to capture some video. And we got to hear a little bit more kind of about your story and your passions. And, you know, there was something that was pretty intriguing about you, you know, being from, you know, a younger generation. You don't see a lot of maturity sometimes in, you know, like these younger people coming up. And we were all out to dinner after a great day out in Yellowstone, taking pictures and hanging out with all the cool animals. And we're sitting down and we all ordered dinner and we're just catching up and getting to know each other a little bit more. And there was this kind of like fiasco thing that happened with me trying to order this gluten-free burger. And, you know, everybody at the table had heard me ask for that. And when he came over, he was like arguing with me about, you did not order this gluten-free burger. And I was just like, my jaw just kind of hit the floor. I've never had anybody, it was like, wasn't a big deal, but like, why are you arguing with me? Like, why are you telling me I didn't do the thing that I did? You know, it was kind of weird. And after that dinner, you know, you just asked to talk to the manager and you just said whatever you said, but you took the time to like stand up for what you thought was right. And you took the time to stand up and respectfully, you know, say like, hey, this is not how you treat women. This is not how you approach a situation. And I just had so much respect for that for a couple of different reasons though. One, you know, again, you're a younger guy, like you're very mature, but you know, I don't want to say I underestimated that, but it's just not something that I expected from you. And secondly, I feel like truly, if I'm being honest, in this day and age, we don't see that very often, that just willingness to stand up for what you believe in or for what you think is right. And so I want you to talk to me a little bit about kind of what riled you up with that and what egged that on for you to get yourself in a position where you're like, hey, no, I want to stand up for what I believe in here.
Yeah. So I have a very different outlook, and it might be because I did serve in the United States Marine Corps. But I have a very big passion about how to be raised as a gentleman and not a soft boy. And so it's mainly essentially is I see a lot of men nowadays is coming forward and saying it's okay to be emotional and it's okay to be soft and it's okay to express yourself in these situations. But something that I picked up inside the Marine Corps is that emotion can really change how you make decisions. And when I actually got a quote just recently from Bonnie Schroeder from Not Dead Yet, and she had told me, and it really ringed in my head, was overthinking is underfeeling. And it really resonated in my head. And it's important because it is. It's if you don't make a quick decision and get rid of your emotion, then you're not going to approach a situation tactfully. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I kind of saw that in this someone that was looked as old as me. But he got really emotional and it must have been like a really stressful night for him or something. But either way, you can't put that in the front face of when, or in business too. You can't put that in the front of someone that you want to please. And essentially, I don't agree with showing these emotions and breaking down in front when it comes to young men. It's being a gentleman and it's how to fix a situation, because the problem could have been resolved immediately if you just said, okay, and then go and dealt with it and then let the emotions out later, essentially. That's my biggest part, is that men, I feel like, have gotten really soft to where they don't think about the impact that they make right in front of someone. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of emotion that comes up front, and I think it's poorly taught to teach young men this, and to actually have a rightful decision and to actually make a good connection between people. You gotta diss the emotion for a bit and settle the problem, and then you can have that time later to actually address your feelings. I learned something from Matt Vincent, is that you take a 5 minute, and I've been practicing this within the last year when I met him, is that when you get frustrated about something, you take 5 minutes, go in your car, you scream it all out, you let out all the emotion, and then you come back to the situation itself and you address it right then and there. Mm-hmm. It's just the proper way to get your emotions out, but also make critical decisions in the time of need. Mm-hmm.
I highlighted that when you sent this over to me and we were talking, just to get to know each other a little bit more, that overthinking is under feeling part. And then the second piece of that is like taking that time, I think, is so important. But it kind of stopped me in my tracks thinking about that. Overthinking is under feeling. You know, it seems like the two can kind of get convoluted and mixed in together a little bit. But I think that it's a really good way to kind of reframe and look, like reset the scene almost. Like, let me figure out what I'm actually upset about. Is it the situation? Is it my emotion? Is it because I've had a really crappy, you know, overwhelming day prior to this situation? It has nothing to do with what's happening now. It has everything to do with how I was feeling previous to this. I think that's a great takeaway for anybody. And honestly, something that I really try to do, you know, within my own life as well, is take that time. And kind of my rule kind of plays on that a bit, but you know, for me, it's like, go do something that decompresses your stress, you know, whether that's go stand outside or go shoot my bow for a few minutes, or, you know, go get my workout done, talk to a friend, whatever it is. I feel like as soon as you can kind of remove that initial knee jerk reaction to emotion, you have a lot more level head to like approach the situation and deal with it in a way that's going to be productive overall.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a point where I do see a rise in like men's group and men's emotional and trauma help, essentially. And so I totally encourage those, because it gives a safe place for men to kind of let go of those emotions. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's so frowned upon to kind of let these people do these activities, because it puts an impact on their persona, essentially. Mm. And it's actually like, now that I've actually went and experienced one with a breath work just recently, it's allowed me to put that in a place where I felt safe. And then now I've been making critical decisions in my life that are just moving me forward, because I'm kind of getting rid of those emotions. I'm dealing with them. Mm-hmm. I'm getting them out of the way, and now I can actually focus on what the next mission is ahead.
I love that so much. And I think that's so important. You know, you talk about, you know, resilience and having that grittiness and overcoming things. And, you know, we can't really scoot over the fact that, you know, you have been on your own since you were a sophomore in high school. You then went on to go into the Marines. And so I feel like you were probably pretty fast tracked into that like maturity, that growing up, that like, no one's here to do this for me. I'm going to have to figure it out myself. So walk us through kind of what that journey has been like for you, and what or who has been the most impactful in helping you along that journey?
Yeah. Oh, man. So yeah, sophomore year of high school, I realized that my family kind of were making bad decisions, or at least didn't heal the problems that they had previous. And I've learned more recently, I've adapted into understanding that if you hate something so much, then you'll actually become it. Mm. And so I had to really push that away and get rid of it for a little while and just say, hey, enough is enough. I need to do this for myself. I know what's going to be good for me. And the biggest part of all of that is becoming something. Mm-hmm. It's missed. I feel like it's missed because everybody's kind of like looking for the who. Essentially, and as being raised, and I heard it from teachers, coaches, you know, everybody, every adult is like who you know, and it's no longer who you know. I feel like it's a new generation. There's new innovations. Technology is up in a different echelon than we could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And so now it's back to what you know. Mm-hmm. What do you provide to the table in this team effort? And so as I got older and kept escalating the difficulty, I started becoming more of a man and more of an independent and understanding that what I bring to the table is going to impact everyone that's here with me going through the same thing. I don't need the hand-me-outs to become something. I need to set my bar and look at these individuals. Like I had two corporals at the beginning of my journey inside the Marine Corps. Greatest two corporals I could have asked for, because one had the essence of a leader in caring for other people. It taught me a lot. It's like, no, it's not just about me. The world doesn't revolve around me, but I do care about the individuals to the left and right of me, and I want to see these people grow more than I do. So, and then the other side of things, I had a hardworking ethic corporal that would always push me and kind of make me understand how to put barriers in front of myself, obstacles to overcome, so that way I can become something better than what I was before.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
And yeah, it just escalated from there and there. And now I focus on getting these micro mentors, is what I call them. I pretty much pick and choose these people that I've surrounded myself with that give off these same essentials to life, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Caring about other people, learning how to raise someone up in their own individual way, but in the best outcome of themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. Talking about micro mentors, and that was actually kind of something that I wanted to touch on as well. You know, you had the base of the Marine Corps and, you know, the individuals that you were able to learn from in that time and be surrounded by and inspired by, right? But, you know, as we go into the next phases of our lives, we leave one chapter behind and start another one. You know, we have to kind of reinvent, you know, what life looks like for us, the people that are making impressions in our world and the people that we surround ourselves by. So, you know, one of the things that we were able to kind of briefly touch on that Yellowstone trip was you just having come back from doing some of these retreats. But talking about the micro mentors and talking about the power of putting yourself in these big situations, what does that look like for you? How have you been successful in finding people or really gravitating to these kind of communities that help up level you in the next ways? And then also, if you can, touch on those retreats that you've done and a little bit about how they've impacted you.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. That's a lot to unpack, actually. So I was invited by the same person that we both mutually know, Chanel. I went and did a retreat for Dude That Lifts Apparel, and it's been remarkable because these retreats invite people to essentially get some growth in their mindset and their fears, essentially. And they bring these proficient mentors that come out, and they essentially give their background and they give the more important part, the how. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I said, it's a new era for me where it's about what you know and not who you know so much. But I've learned to attract to these people that essentially talk about the how and not just what they are. And I took a really good approach to Mike Croson and Dan Holgan in both of these retreats, because both of these guys, one of them is a marketing guru, and I work in that field as well. And it's just been phenomenal of him telling me where he was 10 years ago and seeing the progression mentally and physically, how hard it was for him to grow himself as a person. And he doesn't tell me what was there in front of him. He tells me how he overcame these obstacles. And that's kind of what I pick out in these micro mentors, is who's willing to tell me how to get past my own personal obstacles. How did you get to the point that you're at? And I really love that more perspective of learning.
I love that. So I'm writing this down right now. It's not complaining. It's talking about the solution. And I think that's so important because it's really easy to be complaintive. It's easy to talk about the hurdles. And I'm raising my hand right now because I'm kind of going through a season right now that I'd really like to be out of, if I'm being totally honest. And I keep actually focusing more on my problem than my solution right now. And so my light bulb just went on as you were saying that. It's like, Courtney, you have to fix your focus. Instead of the problem, it's the solution. So thank you for that. Right now, I just have to say, like, I don't know why sometimes it just takes some reiteration or somebody to say it a little differently, but it's so great to surround yourself with people who, like you said, aren't just like leading by example. They're explaining to you how they, you know, went through hell or they overcame those hurdles to get where they are. Because from the outside, a lot of times we look at people and we're like, man, they're amazing. I can't believe all the things that they're doing. Look how successful or whatever the case may be. But we don't know the things that it took that person to get to the place that they were in.
Exactly. Yeah. I even actually just the other day called my great, great uncle, who's fortunately alive, but, I called him for a history lesson because he's wealthy in his own way, but I just refuse to ask for any kind of help from that perspective or anything. Cause it's not going to teach me, It's not going to teach me how to overcome obstacles. So I started asking him, what was he doing at this age and how did he make his own wealth and what was hard about it? And just really asked him for the history of his lineage and how he made himself about him, because he could help me in any perspective in any way, but it's not going to actually help me get to where I want to be.
I think it's so cool that, you know, again, your focus is not like, hey, great, great uncle, you know, it's me, Jerry. Yeah. It's like, hey, I just want to pick your brain and hear from you and hear your stories and be inspired to like move the needle in my own life based on that inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially right now too, cause it's like, it's hard to kind of find people considering I'm younger. Is like, it's hard to find people that are moving themselves up, especially in my generation. I feel like there's a lack in it, essentially, like everybody's kind of lost in this realm right now. And we're figuring it out, I guess. I call it second puberty. but it's definitely like, what do I need to know to get myself to where you're at?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it sounds like you've been in or put yourself in some situations where you've been able to be inspired and learn in those ways to find those micro mentors. But if for, you know, some scenario, the tables were turned and you didn't have those people around you, or maybe you didn't quite have that mindset yet of seeking those experiences out, what would be your advice to somebody listening and who is like, you know, I kind of feel like I'm who Jerry's talking about. I'm the person right now who's not really, you know, walking around trying to figure out how I can do better. I'm kind of walking out looking for the next big opportunity or the next door that just, you know, is open right in front of me. How do you seek those things out? How do you put yourself in those positions? And what would your advice be to somebody listening in?
You stop overthinking. Absolutely ditch that whole thinking about it and just go do. There's so many things in the last 6 years that I can think of just opportunities that somebody just presents to me. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do that at all. That does not sound fun. Marine Corps didn't sound fun, but I'm going to go do it because it's an experience and I'm going to learn from it. It provided me a structure in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's the important key, is like, stop overthinking about what is in front or where you want to be. And when you're stuck in that position, and just start doing.
That's a unique perspective. It's like, don't think about where you want to be. Think about what you should be doing in order to get, you know, some experience under your belt, some, you know, education, some mentorship from other people. I think about this too, because, you know, I'm a mom, and I've got two boys, and my oldest son is about to turn 18, and he's, you know, really excited, and I'm having a mental breakdown. So we're on two totally different sides of the coin here. But, you know, he's thinking a lot about like, what am I going to do for work, and where do I want to go, and what opportunities are there? And he's thinking about like the long term, you know, and making decisions like, you know, do I want to work this next year just for myself and start my own little business? Or do I want to go work for somebody else? And my advice to him last night over dinner was like, you know, you can do either one well if you put everything, you know, you have into it, but you get the opportunity to have different perspectives, to have insight and knowledge poured into you from other people. And so I'm kind of pushing him a little bit more like, go find that, you know, job that you want. Go try, you know, to get into that apprenticeship or whatever. Get that experience, because, you know, we can, like you said, sit here and overthink or, you know, contemplate decisions all day long. But unless we're making action, we're not moving, right? We're just stuck.
Yeah. And it was the same thing with me when I was younger. I always wanted to be into the computer realm and work on computers. And I ended up doing data system administration in the Marine Corps. But then I found out the more and more that I started doing it, I was like, you know what? Kind of want to jump to a different ship. Kind of want to do something different when I get out. Because this, I had like a really successful career in server administration to the point where it was like, I got a lot of work to do, and I've seen a pretty high scale of it. You know what? It's time to kind of just transition and kind of try something else. And yeah, it's just the important part of just putting yourself in those positions so that way you don't wonder if it was the right call or not. You know what it was.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you're doing great things, and I can't wait to see all that you achieve, more of your video work, and just what happens for you next. Like, what's in the next few chapters for Jerry? But one of the things I definitely want to shift gears here for a minute and talk about is your great grandparents and their sailing. So talk to us about your great grandparents and them sailing across the world.
Yeah, this goes hand in hand with my goals right now too. So this is perfect. So my great grandparents, 1971, they built their own ship, and my great grandpa was a lumberjack. So like, there's not really much, you know, there wasn't really a connecting ground there. But they, in 1971, they built their own ship and they started sailing across the world. But at around 1980s, I want to say 1975, between that area, they came across the Who, essentially. They found someone that was inspired by the sails that my great-grandfather built. Nick Coates was his name. I'm not sure if he's still around now, but he was like, hey man, where did you get these sails? Like, where did you get them? What's going on with this? And they started talking and whatnot. And he found out that my great grandpa built those own sails. And so they said, all right, welcome to the expedition. We're going to have like this fleet of ships, essentially traveling the world together and doing other expeditions and adventures. And they traveled the whole world up until about 10 years ago. Just absolutely getting the most experience. And I think that's where I got the biggest key of just do more, mm-hmm. is that they saw an opportunity and they took it. They just absolutely flew with it, and it got them more opportunities just by doing something so obscure. But yeah, I look up to my great grandparents a lot. They're the most incredible people. I only got to talk to them about once a week every year because they were off on their own adventures. But every time I felt like I seen them, I had learned something so valuable every time. And it was just because they had something to bring back every time. They kind of reminded me of Vikings. You know how like Vikings, they would go out and they go fight wars or do whatever, and they would come back and they tell their children about it. And that's something that was more impactful in my life, is the fact that they were able to come back and tell me about stories. I thought it was, when I was younger, I thought they were literally just referencing movies. And
oh my God.
At some point, I started going through these picture books and I was like, my grandpa's Indiana Jones. So it was incredible to have that figure in my life. and fortunate because he is my great grandfather. But yeah, it was just really fortunate for me to have that as a role model in my life. And I still look up to him to this day, and I hope to live up to that name.
Mm, that's so special. I remember you saying that, you know, you looked at your great grandpa as this, you know, Indiana Jones, Steve Irwin kind of person. And it's like, no wonder you have this mentality now of like, the sky's the limit, because that was an example to you that he gave you as you were growing up.
Yeah. And it was just like, it was a perfect example too, because they didn't really come from very much. Both of them, my great grandma and grandpa, they worked a lot of the time of their life, but at some point they said they wanted to look back and say that this was all worth it. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I kind of live by now. Mm-hmm. I just actually made a post today about that, of saying that I don't want to look back in my life and regret anything. Like, I want to be on my deathbed someday and have this beautiful ending to my life to where I can say it was all worth it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's really the goal right now for me too. I've been thinking a ton about like the legacy that we all leave. You know, it doesn't matter if you don't feel like you're anybody, you are, and you're leaving some sort of a legacy to others around you. And to that same point you just mentioned, will I go to bed today, or will I die tomorrow or today, being proud of everything that I just did and all the conversations that I just had? And sure, there's going to be hard times where you have to have difficult conversations and you have to deal with some sort of, you know, conflict, or, you know, face the hard times. But I think that, you know, we can carry ourselves in such a way that, yeah, you can feel proud of that at the end of the day, or, you know, if your time comes, right? Like, I think about that and how I'm showing up with my kids and how I'm ending the conversations on the phone, how I'm sending them to school in the morning. You know, those things are so important. But I think about that too in my work. You know, I'm trying to do things that will someday, you know, I might not ever even see the impact that happens. It could be to two people, and they could be somebody that I never cross paths with. But I want that to just leave this basic just inspiration, right? Empowerment. I want other people to look at my life and to feel empowered. And I love surrounding myself with people like you, because you remind me of how important that is, because I certainly don't do a great job at that all the time.
Yeah, I kind of live by this. I'm not sure where I got this, but I've adjusted it the same for sure. But the more that we fear death, the more that we fear to actually live. And I feel like, especially after the COVID era and all these very global pandemics and everything that's been going on, people are very scared to put themselves out there because they don't know what's going to happen now that we're all shook from that. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they're fearing of dying, and it's no more of that. It's fear, don't fear death at all. Mm-hmm. Go out and go make sure that you earned what you lived for.
Absolutely. I love that. Again, what you said, I believe that the more we fear death, the more we fear to live. That was another piece that I highlighted from you, because I want to know, like, really, what does that mean to you? Like, give me some examples of how or what that looks like in your life, and how other people can live with that philosophy as well.
Yeah, so there's like a lot of things that I bring up that I just say that I want to do some point in my life. Like, I want to go skydiving. I want to go scuba diving. I want to ride a motorcycle. I want to do it all. I'm all for it. All of these adventures, even if it's just a one time. And I feel like a lot of people say that they fear that something bad's going to happen, but I don't want to take away the opportunity itself. So that's why I always say, the more that we fear death, the more we fear to actually live. Mm-hmm. And we rob ourselves from those opportunities to actually get these experiences, understand somebody's point of enjoyment.
Such a good reminder too, because I think about that not in myself, right? I don't think about like, oh, I'm worried I might die in this situation, or I'm worried if that travel is going to be too difficult. I worry about that in my children. And so, you know, I find myself constantly trying not to bug them about, you know, the thing that they're going to go do, or reminding them about their seatbelts constantly. Like, sure, you know, I'm their parent. I need to remind them. I need to help nurture those, you know, skills and habits. But I do probably need to rein back like my fear of what can happen to them, I guess, because ultimately I want them to live. I want them to experience things. You know, we grew up in this little tiny town. There's, I don't know, 1200 people that live here or something. I've been here for 30 years. And it wasn't until I started traveling. I started traveling for work, and then I started, you know, taking my kids on trips. And then as I was able to, we would do more trips together. But it wasn't until that I got out of where I live that I was like, oh, there's really this big world out here. And culturally, people are so different when I travel. Like this is what I know here, but I go to these other places and people talk differently. They act differently. They just conduct themselves in a different way. And I think those experiences are wildly important.
Yeah. I also had an operation that I did in Romania while I was serving, and it was a little different. So I got to live more of the lifestyle for about a month, but I got to see how Romanians were living, and it was just it reminded me a lot of Portland.
Oh,
but at the same time, it was just so mind blowing because they didn't live off the same ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything, their philosophies and everything. It was just their perspective on life was completely different. And I respected it completely because it was just like, you guys just don't have the same problems. And I love it. Mm-hmm. I do. I honestly like how you guys are running things over here in this perspective of free living. That's what it felt like. Like as soon as 5 p.m. hit on a Friday, they were partying until 5 in the morning.
Wow.
And it was just like, yeah, I was just kind of like, I didn't know this is how you guys lived as a community.
Wow.
Like this is incredible. Like you guys are all enjoying each other's company as one in another.
Hmm. Wild. Yeah. You know, again, you get out of the confines of what you know and what's familiar, and you step into these different situations, and it's going to make you grow one way or the other. You know, whether you find yourself in a world that you like or you find yourself in a world that you don't like, there's definitely going to be forced growth there for sure. Before we kind of move off here, talk to me a little bit more about Terrain Tactics Media.
Oh yeah. I've been so excited about this because it's been a multiple failure. But at this point, I feel like it's actually going well. Terrain Tactics Media is my personal LLC that I started this year. And it's a slow progress right now of just creating short films. But I'm trying to more hit the sentimental feeling of these videos. And I just came out with one myself for this retreat. And it's just pretty much the impact and my own perspective through these films of sharing what these people do, how, like, what goes on, but also, like, the deep meaning of it. So I even take, like, the audio clips and I find the most meaningful pieces to me and I express that so that way everyone kind of gets to see this experience through their eyes. And hopefully want to do these experiences as well, because these experiences have been kind of life alternating for me. They kind of changed my growth. Mm-hmm. And they really set a bar up. So that's kind of where I'm taking Terrain Tactics Media, is doing projects that's forwarding the want to live.
I feel like your mindset is so wrapped around, like, you are like anti-complacency, right? You're just like, give me the next level. Like, how can I be moving? How can I be growing? How can I be, you know, helping others achieve that as well? I think that's such a great, it's a beautiful mindset to have. It's like all ships rise together, you know, I'm mm-hmm. helping other people and I'm, you know, uplifting their businesses or their missions or their work, but I'm also doing it one because other people surrounding them are going to have that wave of effect as well. But so are you. And one of the things that I overheard you say to somebody else on the Snow Coach tour that day is how proud you were of your success. And you just, with every fiber of your being, it wasn't like this ego thing. You weren't talking about like, oh, look at me. Well, look what I'm doing. You're like, I'm just freaking proud of my success. That's amazing. I think that too often we don't take time to sit down and be proud of the things that we've achieved, you know, whether that's in our relationships or our finances or our jobs. I think that it's really important to remember, like, we'll never be satisfied. We'll never get to a spot where, you know, we feel like we've made it necessarily. And maybe that's okay. That's a whole nother conversation. But like, if you're continuing to do things that help others lift themselves up, you're not doing it wrong. Like, that's the whole point, right?
Yeah. It's so funny because somebody just said this to me as well, of the, I don't have a high ego kind of thing. Is I don't really get that part too much, I guess, because to me it's just like, I don't want to ever be in a spot where I'm not trying to figure out a solution. And that's one of the things I do with Terrain Tactics Media, is I look for the cause of what these people are actually going to do in the bigger picture. And so it really is like, we're a team. Like, whether it's a nation, whether it's globally, like, we're a team in this life cycle. So I just want to raise as many people as up with me as I keep going forward as well. It's the only way that you get better. It's the best way, in my opinion.
It is the best way, and such a great reminder for everybody. I feel like your wisdom is well beyond your years, Jerry. But thank you so much. I want to talk to you before we jump off today about what you're excited for moving into the rest of 2024 and beyond.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to get scuba certified this year. That's like the primary goal. Last year I got drone certified and got my personal trainer cert, and then this year I want to get scuba certified and then kind of take on some underwater projects for video. And then other than that, I'm just moving forward until I get my own captain's license is the move. That's more of a 5-year kind of plan, but I'm doing a lot of steps right now to kind of make that happen. So the torch was laid down by my great grandfather and I'm picking it back up.
So inspiring. Any parting words for somebody right now who feels like they're kind of stuck in a rut and needs to have this like true desire to get back to it, to find their grittiness and to move forward? What would your advice to them be today?
Just start applying how should I put this? Just start doing. Just put in the work towards yourself. Whether if you're feeling like you're unhealthy, start tackling it and stop thinking about it, because the more you delay it, the more it doesn't get resolved. But the more important part is just to keep doing what's important to yourself. If you're stuck in a rut right now, find an opportunity, talk to some people, start collaborating, and just go for it. Go for the opportunities, because that's going to build your bricks to the whole foundation of the house.
That's great. Having that support system is key. I don't know. I've never been a dude, but I feel like it's got to be harder for men to connect than women. Are there some pieces of advice or some avenues that you feel like have been helpful for you? I know you put yourself in these, you know, in-person scenarios, but how could somebody find themselves a little bit more connected with other men?
Start being honest. Start being honest with yourself. Start being completely, blatantly honest when you look yourself in the mirror and start asking yourselves, what's wrong with me? Start being honest with it and start setting bars to the point where you're reaching these bars. And then once you get all these problems that you have and all these positions that you're in, Start asking other people. It's not a scary thing to do. Anybody's willing to help anybody. The right people that you should surround yourself with are going to be willing to raise you up with them. So absolutely start being honest with yourself. And I think the gym has taught me the most about that. I even said it today on my story, is I failed a PR that I wanted for so long today, and it was good because I got frustrated at myself. And when I reflected on that, it taught me that I care. Like, I care, and I need to start putting in the same effort of how I did it before to get myself there. Mm-hmm. And I started to collaborate. Don't be afraid to talk to someone about what your issues are.
So great. So such great advice. I thank you so much for coming on today, for telling us a little bit about your story. I know there's a whole lot more that we could cover for sure, but let the people listening in know where they can find you or reach out to you online.
Right now, pretty much primarily just Instagram, Captain Bulkin. We've got existence, essentially, that's why I have it as Captain Bulkin. But yeah, that's primarily where you'll find me. And then until I get Terrain Tactics Media's YouTube channel all up with, hopefully the retreats included as a first premiere.
Oh, that'll be awesome. I can't wait to see all of that. So definitely reach out online. You've got some really great inspirational, video work on there to check out as well. I know for me, I love photography. I was a little bit more re-inspired after the women's, wildlife photography tour with Chanel, to take pictures, to have those stills. I mean, the scene there was incredible. The animals were fantastic, but my true love is in video. And so I came home with a goal to just get a little bit more comfortable behind the camera taking those videos. But I will say, kind of as a sidebar here, I was watching one of the Hoyt films last night, and amongst some other hunting brands and stuff. And I was watching, and I was kind of comparing my video style to their video style, right? These guys are the pros. These guys, that's what they do. And so I was giving myself a little bit more grace, and, you know, sometimes like my shakiness, you know, as we're like moving around, it's like, that's a part of the real life journey. You know, that's a part of this, but I'm definitely inspired and going to be picking your brain a bit more just about some tips and tricks for making myself a self-taught, but better videographer.
Yeah, I guess this would be better advice, is like my thing of what you asked earlier, is step one is always say it into existence. Say it so that way you put that on yourself. But then two, I always say research. That's really like the first step of progression, is when you start researching about it. Like all my videos, like I go on Instagram if I need some ideas, and I start scrolling and I'm like, that's cool. I got to learn how to do that. And I started looking it up.
That's perfect. Yep. Definitely good to be inspired by other people, but to remember that you have to take action yourself to get where you want to go. Thank you so much for joining us. Any parting words before we sign off for today?
No, I think this went really well, and I'm super fortunate to have to met you. Honestly, that whole retreat and everything was super, super inspiring in my perspective and passionate woman in photography. So yeah, do what you have to do to get it to where you want.
Once again, thank you for tuning into the show. We hope that your cup is full and you're ready to embrace your untamable vibe. If you enjoyed the show, could you do us a favor? Help us grow our audience by sharing your favorite episode on social media, sending the episode to a friend, and leaving us a review online. We love to hear from you. One more thing, be sure to press that subscribe button and never miss a weekly episode. See you next week.